title here, Breaking the Time Barrier. It's a little bit startling, but I wanted something that would make us to think. Breaking the time barrier. Jesus broke the time barrier. Really, I could talk about revelation. I could talk about living in the Spirit. It's the same thing. Do you remember when Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, who do men say I am?" And he said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, come back again. But who do you say I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." The time barrier was broken in Peter. He got the revelation in the Spirit. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock, this revelation of who I am, I will build my church." So we want to build the church here by the Spirit. We need the revelation. We need to break the time barrier. We need to walk in the Spirit. Let me just turn quickly to Galatians to give a... Yeah, and we are that house. So we need him, we need the spiritual... if we live in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, let us also walk in the Spirit. And he said in... where is it? Galatians 4, I think. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. How many of you like daydreaming? It's amazing what the mind can do. You know, because we're all made in the image of God. Whether people are saved or not, God made man in his own image. You know, I can remember days when I was young boy, early teens. We used to live in London, but we used to come up to Kent round here for holidays occasionally. And I can remember lying on my back on the grass on a sunny day and the white puffy clouds, and there were daydream. And it was so beautiful. My mind would go back and forward and think, this is absolutely beautiful heaven to me. It's amazing how our minds can go back. We can remember something that we lived many, many years ago, and it becomes real to us. We can also go forward and imagine things. You know, maybe we're in pain and we can visualize ourselves without pain, healed, made whole and strong. Or perhaps relationships which are broken and need to be healed, and as we come before the Lord, we visualize a new healed relationship. That's the power of the natural mind. I was speaking to somebody in America the other day. He said, I'm there with you now in Westgate. In my mind, I know I've been there. And I know I can feel the presence of it there. Yet it's 2,000 miles away. You can fast forward and fast back because we're made in the image of God, the Spirit image. But we know that that image was marred by rebellion, by sin. And so that image was broken. And God, instead of having fellowship with Adam, he's going around the garden saying, "Adam, Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam?" Adam was hiding. Once Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he was locked in time. There would be an end, there's a beginning, and there's an end. Time has to have an end. But in Jesus Christ, there is no end. Jesus said these amazing words when he was talking to Nicodemus. He said, "No man has ascended up into heaven, but he which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man," referring to himself, "which is in heaven." Here is a man who's both on earth and in heaven. Not as some people say, "Oh, you're so heavenly that you're no earthly good." He had his full five senses with which to contact this world. Sight, hearing, touch, taste, feel. I think I've got them all. They were all functioning well. But he had another sense with which he contacted the spirit world. Faith. Simply put, his faith. He knew what was happening beyond the natural world. I was thinking how he said, "I must needs go to Samaria." He was way down in Galilee. He didn't trek all that way, miles and miles up to Samaria, just for the fun of it. Oh, let's go for a nice few days' walk. In the spirit, he knew what he was doing. There was a woman up there that needed the message of Christ. There's no end in Christ. Jesus said, right at the beginning of his ministry in John chapter 2, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Wow. And of course, they all thought it was there at Jerusalem, the temple. Why had it took 40-odd years to build this temple, and you're going to destroy it and raise it up again? See, they're thinking naturally. But Jesus thinks spiritually. He's always in the spirit. That's why he's such a strange man. He was aware of the spiritual dimension in every situation. Because he was talking about his body, even at that stage. He was saying, effectively, "You're going to kill this body, and I'm going to raise it up again in 3 days." He knew what he was here for. The death of Jesus at the cross of Calvary and the resurrection that followed is that essential boundary. We use the word today, interface, in our computing. It just means a boundary between the natural, between time and eternity. Jesus was able to cross over that boundary constantly between time and eternity. And it's absolutely essential for us. Jesus was already eternal. Adam lost everything that he was given as a spirit man. But the cross reconciles us. There's one verse in Scripture, I think it's in Galatians 5, where it uses the word, probably doesn't, not in the modern versions, but it uses the word atonement. He is our atonement, which is a reconciliation. And in fact, the word means an exchange. He came and took our sin and gave us his righteousness. But it's in the spirit, it's beyond time that we receive that righteousness. Back to life, eternal life. Life in the spirit. But you know, as Christians, we are so often earthbound. I'm speaking to myself. We're so often directed by the five senses that we have of the earth, and we forget about that sixth sense, that spirit sense, that timeless sense of God speaking to us. We haven't spent enough time with the Lord during the day, during the week, and then we become insensitive to what he's saying to us. The Bible calls it in the flesh. Let me just turn for a moment to Romans 7. Verse 25 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's read verse 24. Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And then he says in these famous words in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That sounds great. But then you have to remember the subsequent clause, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're really in Christ Jesus, if he's really in you, then you are to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh is reasonable. The Spirit is unreasonable. Okay, somebody outside. The flesh is reasonable. In other words, you can reason. You can say, well, 2 and 2 equals 4, therefore. But the Spirit is unreasonable. You cannot reason it. This man, Mark, who went to Alaska, how could he reason that that was what he had to do? The Spirit had to instruct him to leave this country, to leave us here and to go and serve God in another land. And without asking for anything. The flesh, we are told, as a Christian, is dead. Knowing this, that our old man, it's called the old man, the old husband. Our old man is dead, crucified with Christ. That the body of sin, same thing, the old man, the body of sin. Let me say it again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, same thing, but live unto God. Destroyed. So that old nature is destroyed. And yet it still has an influence on us. That old man is a spirit man. It's the old nature which Adam and Eve picked up in the garden. Through Calvary, God destroyed it. But we only experience that destruction as we live for him, we receive him, and we live day by day in the Spirit until that old man is totally out of our lives. He has to go because he's destroying the church when he's active. We'll never grow here while that old man is active. We've got to put him down, put him to death, as the scripture says, in the Spirit. We've got to break that time barrier. How do we break the time barrier? You know, Jesus knew in the Spirit what he would do and what he would manifest. The story of the feeding of the 5,000, you all know that. It's in every gospel. Find it. I think it's John 6. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? He's asking a rhetorical question because he knows the answer. Hallelujah. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Isn't that amazing? We know what he did. I mean, there was no food around. But he asked the other disciples, oh, there's a little boy over there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus already knows this. He says, oh, come and bring them to me. And he says, how much bread do we need to feed this 5,000 odd? And oh, the disciples said, we haven't got enough, 200 pennyworth, I think. He said, wouldn't be enough to feed any of these, half of these. And so Jesus is playing, knowing what he's going to do because he's in the Spirit. Do you think we could get to that place? God expects it of us. He was on earth, but he was in heaven at the same time. And you say, well, that was Jesus. But did not Jesus say in Mark 11:24, Verily I say, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever is you and me, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he say shall come to pass. Those things which he saith. Old Smith Wigglesworth, I think it was a Yorkshire man, like our brother Wayne here. And he say, you have to saith it. S-A-I-T-A. You have to say it. You must saith it, he says, for it to come to pass. You have to saith it. By faith. Have faith in God. But our faith is still largely based on reason. Well, it's not reasonable. A man's seriously ill, about to die, but it's not reasonable. And because the medicals can only tell you what their prognosis is. If you don't do this, you don't do that, you die. But God said. Now, it takes time to get to that place. These men of faith, Wigglesworth was an example of them, went through great trials to get to that place where they could speak to the mountain. They counted the cost. Oh, Brother Bevington, who was one of the early Methodists, I think probably in the 1700s in Kentucky. He didn't have a great anointing of the gifts of the Spirit. He just stayed alone, getting alone with God until God spoke to him. He would not give up. He stayed for hours and hours, sometimes weeks. First of all, he found out where God would want him to go. Then he just waited. He wouldn't go until God showed him, gave him a vision. Some of us should be having visions by now. We should be walking in the Spirit. I'm talking to myself as well. I'm praising, believing God's going to have a breakthrough in our lives. This is not going to just be another religious church. But we must be directed by the cross, by Calvary. Our old flesh reasons. But we are crucified with him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. They are in heaven and on earth at the same time. Nevertheless, I live. But Christ liveth in me. See, it's one thing to say, oh, Jesus Christ lives in you. Let's see the example. Let's see the effect. He said, I come preaching to you, not in words, but in demonstration of power of the Spirit. If we want the demonstration of the power of the Spirit, we have to pay the price of spending time with God to get in the Spirit. If we want to break the time barrier into the heavenlies, all the blessings are ours in heavenly places. As they used to say, salvation is free, but it'll cost you everything. It's a paradox, isn't it? At Calvary, Jesus identified with me as a sinner, as one who was lost, unclean, and doomed. No hope. But at Calvary, I identify with him, and he comes and lives in me. Hallelujah. Glory. The eternal one in you and me. The one who had no beginning and end. I know he said, I'm the Alpha and Omega. But that's what who he is when he's explaining that to us who live in the natural. But he's beyond the beginning. He's beyond the end. There is no end in him. Jesus Christ lives in you. But we need to work at it. It's a bit like riding a bike. Those of you who ever rode a bike, you remember you probably fell off a few times, first of all. You're going up the road and your dad was probably holding onto the saddle behind you, and then before you realised it, he wasn't there. And you're on your own. Whoa! But then he will catch up with you before you damage yourself too badly. You know, that's like growing in the Spirit. You're going to fall over. You're going to trip up a few times. But you've got to go out and trust God in a little way, then in a greater way. Pray it, say it, until your soul agrees with your spirit. It's the soul that has the resistance. The old man, the old nature, resists the spirit. So the only resistance is in our soul. God gives us a new heart, and if you like, a new soul. But the old one has to be put down constantly. Just think about Jesus. He lived for 30 years in Galilee, Nazareth, in a city or a town which wasn't reckoned much. What good could come out of Nazareth? Just think, God was in Nazareth for 30 years and nobody knew. Probably Mary was the only one who knew that this son that she's had was divine. But Jesus was growing in the spirit. He had to be a baby. He had to be 2, 3, 4 years old, starting to learn to talk. He had to learn the natural things. But I'm sure at the same time he was learning the spiritual identity of who he was. By the time he was 12, he could amaze the lawyers and the priests in Jerusalem at the temple, because he got lost and they lost him for 3 days. At the knowledge that he had, how did this young boy get this knowledge? He'd been spending time finding out who he was. He needed to know. He could never have gone to that 3 years ministry, 30 years preparation. This is our preparation to come into that ministry. Sometimes the ministry, you think, well, is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? Don't say that. Believe. God's going to transform you and me and this place. Breakthrough. So Jesus had to press into that spiritual awareness and the work he was preparing. I'm just closing. God is preparing us if we will count the cost. It is costly. Jeremiah said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me," with a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of help. No. He said, "You will find me when you search for me with all of your heart, with everything that is in you." Lord, I don't feel like getting up this morning. I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm aching. Get up. God is waiting. He's sitting there in your front room waiting to receive you. Oh, but it's still dark, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm tired. I want to get to bed now. There's lots of different aspects. Don't think your age has got anything to do with it. Age has nothing to do with it. God can use you mightily. But on the other hand, don't leave it a day longer to seek him, to search him. We are seated in the heavenlies. Amen. Beyond the curtain of time. It's a mystical curtain which God wants to break through in our lives. Breaking the time barrier in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Again, like to stand.